Ira Hobbs of Hobbs & Hobbs Associates and a longtime veteran of the federal government in the information technology community. I thought of you the other day, Ira, as I was reading in GCN a piece called How to Keep Legacy Systems from Becoming Liabilities. And I thought about all of the money, what's like 70 or 80% of the money that agencies spend on IT goes to maintaining legacy systems. And you're a guy that's done a lot of these kinds of maintenance and transition stuff. And that idea, how you keep legacy systems from becoming liabilities, how do you even think about that in the planning stage? Or how should a CIO be thinking about that in the planning stage before he gets to the execution? Thanks for being on, Ira.
Not a problem, Francis. Always good to hear your voice and speak to your audience. Legacy systems, they're part of life in the IT community, particularly in the federal sector. You know, when you look at a lot of agencies' capital portfolio reports, you'll see that some of them are real high, 40, 50, 60% of their systems are legacy. So it's a balancing act. It's always a balancing act because the more legacy you have, the less kind of new development work that you have, that you're able to put into place and start working on. So again, it comes down to really having a good relationship with your business community and understanding where they're going with the systems that they have in place and the politics behind them. Sometimes legacy systems are good because they're outward facing. You're dealing with customers and clients. You don't want to change things. You want to keep things as they are because they're still satisfying the business needs. In others, as you try to bring about the innovation, as you start to bring about the kind of customer service upgrades that allow people to be able to do more, you have to be more thoughtful. And that's where the partnership between IT and the business community is really critical and important. Understanding what is available, understanding where you're trying to go, and then building a schedule and a process that people are comfortable with that moves them in that direction. And that's all part of that capital planning and investment and control process that's so critically important to IT and the work of agencies in terms of their missions.
And it strikes me that that process is getting better, Ira, as I hear more talk about collaboration in the C-suite and more talk about the CIO being integrated into that decision-making and business strategizing process.
I think that's very important, and I think you make a very good point because I think it is getting better. I think that not only is the CIO being recognized as being part of the C-suite, I think the CIO is also understanding that they're part of the business delivery process. And so it isn't always about, you know, quote, the old version of getting the new toys and who has the most money, but it is about delivering on the services. So while the business community is more accepting and encouraging and bringing a CIO in, the CIO is also showing more awareness of that we get paid by the services we provide, not by the new toys that we have. So it's a great collaboration that's steadily growing and emerging in the federal sector, I think, and across the industry when you look at it.
You mentor a number of folks. If one of them were to come to you and say, what do I do to integrate myself more into that conversation and to demonstrate that I'm capable of being involved in the strategy of the business enterprise and not just the gadget guy, what kind of advice would you give to that person, Ira?
Well, first and foremost, Francis, I think you got to say, you got to know what the business is that you're in. So that means you got to understand exactly what it is that your business partners are trying to achieve. This is oftentimes we say, well, folks don't understand IT. A lot of times we don't understand the business. So first, understand the business. Take the time to understand it and to work in partnership. Go where they go. Not just to the technology conferences, but to the clients and the customers that they have to service and understand what the pressures are as well as what the pain points are. And then be a business partner. Work with them. That may mean some hours different than what you're accustomed to. That may mean going to some places that you haven't gone before. But it's those kinds of things that start to endure and develop the trust that's so necessary that you understand what we're trying to get done and that you're willing to push back some of the things that you want to do technology-wise to satisfy the things that we're trying to do from a business perspective. Out of that growth comes the trust that's so necessary to move them forward. Be a part, if you can, of their budget development process, helping them to understand what it means about setting aside dollars for IT. be a part of their discussions when they go up to meet Congress and to talk with Congress about the improvements that are required. But be prepared to talk about the benefits that it's going to provide in terms of helping customers and helping clients and helping people who are affected by those systems. That's how you get to be a part of and in the House and a seat at the table, and that's by reaching out, being accessible, and understanding what it is that they're trying to achieve.
So what I'm hearing from you, Ira, it's Ira Hobbs of Hobbs & Hobbs Associates. What I'm hearing from you, Ira, is some very strong executive communications type stuff, where instead of saying we're going to consolidate X number of servers and data centers and on, talking about the benefits is, I mean, that's almost sales to some degree, and understanding the basic principles of getting the person on the other end of the conversation to understand why the action that you're proposing to undertake will derive a benefit for the organization. You're not selling, obviously, to somebody outside your organization, so it's not transactional selling, but it's conceptual selling in that you're convincing someone why the idea that you have is valuable to them and why potential future ideas that you might have might be valuable to them. Am I on the right track?
Francis, you're definitely on the right track. Getting in on the ground floor. It's like building a house. It's too late to come in and talk about what we need upstairs when the blueprint's already been drawn. So you're trying to get in on the ground floor. Sometimes that ground floor conceptual stand may be 2-3 years away, but you're there, you're a part of the process of discovery, and you're helping folks as they go along. Let's be honest, more and more people today get the basics of IT. What needs to be more better explained, and that's where the communication comes in, is the benefit that will be derived by us taking certain directions. There are all kind of choices that are out there, and helping people understand the value add of the different choices and showing that in the context of the business itself is what's so valuable to not only the IT executive but also to the business partner. Then you become joined at the hip. Your mission becomes the same. Your lines of business become transparent to each other. You're in it for the mission. IT and the business formulation just happen to be subcomponents that work and function well together.
All right, so let's tie that back then to the original point of our conversation, which is taking on legacy systems. Once you are integrated into the business end of the enterprise, it strikes me then that it would become immediately obvious which legacy systems are fine the way they are, because you said sometimes legacy systems are good if they're cranking along, serving customers, and they're not interacting with other systems. It's probably fine to just leave them alone. And it also becomes obvious which ones are the priorities for upgrades or evolutions or developments of some sort.
Absolutely. And then you go through the process together, the development of the business case, the development of the business plan, the presentation of the requirements, the understanding of where the dollars need to come from, the understanding of how the dollars will be planned, which leads then into the selection of the technology that you're going to use, which leads then into the development of the team, which is integrated, both IT and business working together, which leads to the schedule, which leads to the project, and then the executive oversight that's required to take that legacy system, transform it to the extent that that's appropriate, move it to a different platform, decide whether it's going to be software as a service, where you're going to put it at in the cloud. Those things then become a matter of teams working together. And that's what's so critical and what's so important.
What are the stumbling blocks that you've seen historically when somebody tries to take on a legacy system like that?
Well, the stumbling blocks, some folks said most of my work would be easy if I didn't have to deal with people. But people get in the way. Politics get in the way. We've always done it this way kind of syndrome. That's why you have to be prepared to show the better way. Of course, there's the obvious things, the lack of funding, the inability to get funds in a way that's timely, such that you're trying to build, getting enough to do just enough for this year, just enough for the next year, not being able to get that pool of resources so that you're able to go from start to finish, which leads then to technology changing, which leads then to changing in your direction. So it's those kinds of things that you have to guard against. But most often you have to guard against that cynicism that comes up in people about we can't do this because we've never done this before. That, more than anything else, I think is a huge killer of IT projects and their ability to be successful in today's environment.
But the good news that I hear on that whole list of things is that, with the exception of budget, which you don't have much control of, you can ask, but you don't necessarily get what you ask for. However, beyond that, the rest of the stuff you listed sounds like issues that can all be dealt with effective leadership and effective conceptual sales, as I talked about earlier.
Absolutely. If you can get the right-minded people in the room at the right time, and they work together, forge that consistency, create that alliance that says, we're going to do this. You know what? 9 out of 10 times, you do. And every now and then, you fail. But when you fail, you learn from that, which starts to increase even more so your percentages of success. And that's a wonderful thing.